She's so, I don't know, I can't relate, but like, she's so, but you're right, she is very masochistic, because, and she gives herself in a way that is like, really, I'm just like, girl, like, no. Like, when she tells him, respectively, honestly, twice, once when they're in high school, and then again, when they start hooking up again in college, when she's like, oh, you could do whatever you wanted to me, and I would do whatever you wanted, like, she's like, you could lay me right here and do whatever you wanted. It's, that's actually like, when she says that, it's actually like really dark.
It's really dark, and it's giving red flag. And I'm not going to lie, if I'm not a man, but I feel like if I were a man and a woman said that to me, like, you could do whatever you you want to me, I'd be like, I think this bitch is trying to set me up.
Yeah, same. That's what I'm saying. Like, hello everyone, this is Alex.
And this is Em.
Welcome to the latest episode of The Good, The Bad, The Basic.
This is a podcast for anyone who enjoys binge-watching new TV series and revisiting old favorites. On this podcast, we'll be discussing what we love, what we hate, and what's just a bit problematic about the TV and movies that we're addicted to, though not necessarily in that order.
This week, we continue our limited edition season and dive into a discussion of the thought-provoking, heartbreaking, and touching psychological drama and romance, Normal People.
Normal People uses the relationship between two teenagers to make a critique on class and how classism can hinder relationships. As we watch the wealthy Marianne and underprivileged Connor fight to make a relationship work despite their differences, the wealth disparity between the two is always the elephant in the room.
So is Normal People worth watching? Stay tuned.
All right, everyone, here are some critical details about Normal People. The series is a psychological drama and romance. It aired originally on the BBC Three network, the RTE One network, as well as Hulu in the US. The series was released on April 26th of 2020, and it is inspired by the novel Normal People by Sally Rooney, who is one of the writers in the show, as well as Alice Birch and Mark O'Rourke. The directors are Lenny Abrahamson and Hattie McDonald, and the series stars Daisy Edgar-Jones as Marianne Sheridan. She is one of our protagonists, an affluent, studious, outspoken student, and kind of an outcast among her peers. Paul Mescal as Connell Waldron, a poor but popular, intelligent, and athletic student, also going to the same school. Sarah Green as Lorraine Waldron, Connell's single mother, and the Sheridan's cleaner. Aislinn McGruckin as Denise Sheridan, Marianne's single mother. Frank Blake as Alan Sheridan, Marianne's abusive older brother. Elliot Salt as Joanna, a close friend of Marianne's at Trinity University Dublin, where she and Connell later attend. Sebastian D'Souza as Gareth, Marianne's first college boyfriend. Desmond Eastwood as Nail, Colin's flatmate at college. And Fiona O'Shea as Jamie. Fiona O'Shea, Marianne's friend and our second abusive boyfriend in college. So these are our major players. These are the people who are going to have the biggest impact on the plot. But let's talk about the series. First, I want to talk about the novel versus the miniseries. I do think that the novel is very beautifully crafted. I did get a chance to read it last week, which is long after I had already watched the series. And I think the novel Though Sally Rooney is a writer on the show, I think the novel, just being a novel, does a little bit more to add the nuance of the wealth disparity and how it plays a role in their relationships. Because I think if you've seen the show already, and if you only seen it once, you might think the biggest issue in their relationship, or that the only issue in their relationship, is that Connell seems to be ashamed of Marianne, right? And how unpopular she is.
Right. It's interesting. So, Normal People, the show, and I'm glad you read the book, because I had a sinking suspicion that the book is... Right. So, I knew that the book was, like, this huge sort of monster hit, and it was, like, this huge monster hit, and thus, that's why the adaptation in the series. So, when I finally saw the series, because I had heard so much about the book, I... instantly sort of my biggest takeaway really from this show was that, like, there was a lot missing, which there was a lot missing from the in terms of adaptation, and that there was a lot maybe that was going on in the book that the series did not communicate. And I did sort of feel like maybe that was partly because, like, not to say it's Sally Rooney's fault, but I feel like maybe if you're adapting your own material, you just know that material so well that you mm-hmm. think you're putting it into the show. And, like, if you're a novelist, and, like, novelist and, like, screenwriting are similar, but they are two very separate skills. And, mm-hmm. like, you can miss a lot. Like, there can be a lot, like, missing that you never thought to, like, write or make clear in script that you needed to, and then thus it's never translated to screen.
Right, right. I agree with that she was too close to the source material, and also not being a screenwriter, like, vocationally, that this was a problem, right? That she thought the material would just translate, and it didn't. And it was actually a very small thing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
This one thing that we didn't quite get the first time we viewed it, but it completely distorts the way that you view the material.
Interesting.
At least it did for me.
Say more about that.
So when I watched Normal People the first time, I hadn't read the book. I hadn't had the book spoiled for me or anything like that. No one had discussed it with me. I went and I watch the TV series, and I see this very introverted girl telling this boy, who's very popular, that she is attracted to him, that she would like to have a sexual relationship with him. And then him beginning that relationship and saying that he doesn't want anybody to know that they're in a relationship. He appears to be very attracted to her as well, but he doesn't want to take her out in public. Anything that could even be slightly construed as a date is always in private, just the two of them. It's to the point where even his mother says, I don't like the way that you're treating this girl, right?
Right.
But if you look at it through the lens of he is poor, not just that she's an outcast at school and that she's unpopular and that the kids don't like her, but that he is poor, that she is wealthy, that his mother is her maid, and that none of his school friends know this. You look at it from a completely different lens. The book even extrapolates on how when Connor would take Marianne on dates, it was never lost on him that the money he was spending on her was money that his mother had earned cleaning her house.
No, so you brought up a really great point. And that's not, like, you're right. Because I remember, when I watched it the first time, I was like, okay, this is mid. Like, but then I watched it again. I still think it's mid. But, like, then I finally picked up on, like, oh, yeah, like, the mom is her fucking maid. That's weird. Like, why isn't the show talking about that? Because, like, yeah, the show makes it seem like he's kind of shitty. And it's like, he is shitty. But also, yeah, it's like, it's a huge tension. Like, I get it. I get why he's being weird about it, because that his mom is, like, cleaning. If his mom is, like, a maid in her house and she's the richest girl, like, in the school, and all his friends, and from, like, the looks of it, the friends also all too are all sort of, like, poorer working class. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Like,
yeah,
there's so
like she lives in the house on the hill, right? And they all live in town with like the poor and the working class folks. So part of the reason why she is an outcast is specifically because of her wealth. Like, it's not really something innate in Miriam. They do make fun of her looks, but like that's what bullies do, right? It's not her innate appearance. It's this perception that she is literally looking down on them from her house on the hill on the outskirts of town, far, far away, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, she, like, and that, so I'm about to, like, make another point. And, but, that, it, but hold on, sorry, my thoughts are going too fast. But, like, so that is part of it. Like, she, like, they, the kids in the town, like, they think she thinks she's better than them. And, like, they're not necessarily wrong to think that because she does kind of think she's better than them. But the show is so interested in, like, making her, like, a helpless, sad little victim that they won't, mm-hmm. like, let her, like, they won't fully, like, let her, like, let the character live in that. But, like, no, yeah, she does think she's better than these people. So, like, this
right. tension. But it's the why. It's the why that the book actually extrapolates on that's better. So the book makes a point of mentioning that when Marianne does spend money on Connell, she does it thoughtlessly. She doesn't think about money in the way that people who grew up wealthy don't think about money, right? When she tells, and there's a scene in the miniseries, right, where she flat out tells one of his friends who asks, "You think you're better than me?" And she's like, "Yeah, I do think I'm better than you." And when she says that, it's interpreted by everyone around them as, "I'm wealthy and you're poor. Of course I'm better than you." But what she really means is, "I'm smarter than you. I have better manners than you. I make better grades than you. I carry myself better than you," right? She's talking about being better than him from a purely characteristic sense. But how right. is that going to look when the richest girl in school flat out admits that she thinks she's better than you?
That's what I'm saying. That's a huge tension. And like in the show does, and like, you don't get any of that from the show. I'm sorry. Like, you just don't. Like, it doesn't, like, none of that is translated until you like, you don't. Like, none of that is translated until
see Marianne as an outcast, but we definitely see it almost as something of her own making. Like, she gets a perverse joy
yeah,
of being on the outskirts. Like, she feels like she has a moral superiority by keeping herself apart from her peers.
Right. It's very much, it's like a middle class sort of rebellion versus like poor little rich girl. Like, and that's how the show has translated it. And so that puts me into like my next point about this show. Like, the show suffers from like the deification of both of these characters, like in terms of like they make Marianne like this, like, oh, she's just like, she's like an outcast, like she's just a girl, like a poor girl. And then similarly, they do, I think, bad by the Connell character, like, by like sort of making him a saint. Like, they do, there is a sort of like, how do I describe this? Like when he, like, there's a scene where Marianne is like, she says something to the effect of, "Does it bother you that I'm rich?" Or like, "Does it bother you that your mom works for me?" And he's like, "No." But like, yeah, like, what do you mean no? Like, it's okay if he is. Like, that's a, I think that's a valid thing to be bothered by. I think that's a valid thing to feel a type of way about. And like, they, mm-hmm. but they want to like deify or like sanctify the Connell character to the point where he's like rendered really like useless, I think, mm-hmm. in a lot of parts in the narrative.
I actually didn't get that impression of Connell. I thought that he was withholding to the point of his own detriment. So I don't feel like he was deified, but I felt like he was painted in a similar light of self-martyrdom as Marianne, right? Like, Marianne keeps herself apart from other people for most of her high school career and then wonders why she's isolated. and Connell doesn't tell Marion the things that bother him in his relationship, like the money aspect absolutely does bother him, but he represses it and thinks that he's a good person for doing that. And they're both super annoying in that way. because nobody is being really honest.
Yeah, no one, like, their whole thing is that they can't be honest with each other.
Like, she wants to be included. It kills her that Connell is included and he keeps her as a separate hidden part of his life. It kills her. She wants to be included. She wants to have fun with everybody else. He would like to be wealthier. He would like to be able to court someone of Marianne's socioeconomic bracket properly, but he can't. So they hide these things from each other, and they have really great expressive sex, but not nearly enough conversations.
Right, and it's supposed to be like, it's supposed to be ultra romantic or something, but it never rises to that, because like the writing, I never get any, I just, like I said before, like, you don't, I feel like you don't get any of this until you watch the thing like 20 billion times, and then you're like, oh, this is happening.
Right. It's not that the miniseries is rushed. I don't want you guys to feel like that's what we're trying to imply.
No,
the series isn't rushed. It's very well paced. It leaves too much to be presumed or implied.
Implied, yeah. And I think it's good. I will say, I mean, to give it grace, to find grace, this is, Normal People was one of those things where if you're following any of all this stuff that's happening, Normal People was one of those things that's like developed in like a mini room, in where it was just like one or like two to three people like writing the entirety of the series versus a normal standard size room of like 12 writers sort of working on this thing to have it work. And so once again, I feel like this, so like these conversations that are sort of happening in terms of like, you know, the WGA right now fighting for minimum room sizes. I said this on Twitter, like Normal People is one of these things where I think it could have absolutely benefited from like a standard 12 writer room size. Cause I think 12 people together would have caught all the things that we're saying. And then furthermore, it feels like a lot of the directing, it feels like the directors were scared to tell Daisy Edgar Jones and Paul Mescal to do anything, because there's so many of like these line readings that are happening where like you need them to edge into like a different emotion, or you need the actors to like make it clearer, and they're not being clear because they're just kind of, you know, doing whatever. And it's just not clear. It's not happening. And you needed like a writer on set to be like, no, the line reading needs to be like this, because this is what's being communicated, so that so then when this happens in the next episode, you sort of get that thing from earlier. Like, and it seems like this is one of those times where like there were no, like the writer presence on set was lacking, and therefore like we have these sort of like weird muted performances.
I agree, especially with Paul Mescal. It was so difficult sometimes, especially, like I said, going in, asking myself through most of my first watch of the series, why is he so ashamed of this girl? Like, why is he just so embarrassed to be with her, right? Right. And then I get these performances from him that are so stunted. Like, you can play a repressed character without having a repressed performance, where I'm thinking, does he, like, genuinely feel anything for this girl at all, or is she just the best lay he's ever had?
Same. You know, I was really confused. I was like, does he even like her? Like he's saying it, but like, is it true? Like, what am I supposed to be taking from this? All in all, like, this show is super, like I said, people were like super pot, like people really loved this show, but like after off air, like I did not, you know, when this show was like announced and then when it was being shot, like people were preaching about Paul Mescal and Daisy Edgar Jones like they were the second fucking coming, like they were white Jesus and white Mary Magdalene. Like, I was expecting so much and got so like nothing. I was like, oh, like these people suck. And it wasn't really until Banner Under the Banner of Heaven, for Daisy, Edgar Jones, and then After Sun, respectively, for Paul Mescal, that I was like, oh no, like these are good actors. Like they're great. Like,
right.
They're doing something great. Like this show is not to me any sort of like representation or of their talent or like or their skill.
Oh no, you're good. I feel like the performances are mid.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I don't think they're terrible. I really don't think I don't think they're terrible. I think they're quite mid. Because I feel like those performances are only bad when they're on screen alone together for prolonged periods of time. When they're on screen with the other characters, the performances are actually quite good. We actually get something from, like, the my favorite scenes are always Connell's scenes with his mother, who's actually a quite thoughtful, sensitive person. And Marianne's scenes with her mother and her brother, we see a lot of really great performances there. The family dynamics on Normal People, I think, are better than the love story between these two because, you know, Marion is raised in this very affluent home, but she's being terribly abused, physically abused by her brother. Her mother is not only cognizant of it, but letting it happen and you know, literally asks, what do you want me to do? As if her hands are tied in protecting her child. And you have Connell, who is being raised by this single mother who is a bit younger than Marianne. She had her when she was like a teenager. And, you know, she is thoughtful and she's caring and she's considerate. And he respects her deeply and comes to her for her advice and her opinions. And I guess they're trying to make a statement there that even though Marianne is wealthy, she's being emotionally deprived in her home life. And Connor is privileged in a different way than she is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But those family dynamics, when I see that this characters separate from each other, interacting with their respective families, then I see a glimmer of what we saw of them in other series. I see a glimmer of that greatness. You understand?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I agree with all of that. Because, yeah, Connell and the mother are great together. Connell and the friend, like the one friend at school, are actually really lovely. I don't even hate the stuff between Connell and the girlfriend that isn't Marianne, and then obviously the strongest.
Oh, the one girl he dated and he went to the dance with at college. I mean, at high school.
No, the girl who looks like she's half Asian.
Oh yeah, that one that he dated briefly that was in Marianne's friend circle. Was very weird.
Yeah, I didn't hate that. And then obviously the strongest performance, in my opinion, from him in. Within the context of this series is when he's talking to the therapist and he breaks down about the death of his friend from home.
Right. And this is the most raw emotion we see from Connell. And it was in this moment that my opinion of the character changed to like, he's just a piece of shit who's using this girl for sex to, he is a person who feels things deeply, and for whatever reason, you know, socioeconomic class, upbringing in regards to patriarchy and perception of masculinity, for whatever reason, he's felt the need to repress his emotions his entire life. And now this person is at his breaking point.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Well, let's talk about that relationship between Marianne and her brother.
Yes, let's talk about it.
Alex and I talked about this prior to the recording, and we were both of the same mindset that if anything was deeply implied and could have been left to the audience imagination by these writers, it was this idea that we both had that Marianne was being sexually abused by her brother, right?
Yeah, like, so like you said, she's being, the show is like, shows it that like, it's just sort of this weird emotional and physical, not even, yeah, physical abuse, but it's done in such a way that to me, I kept waiting for the other ball to drop that the brother had sexually abused her in some way.
Mm-hmm. At the very least, I think we can infer as an audience that had she stayed in that home any longer, because remember their mother was home at the time at the time the abuse reached its climax, right? She was home. She was home for most of the abuse. I feel like if it had progressed farther than this, it would have eventually led to a sexual assault. And that's where it was always heading.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. But even the way Marianne, from when they're in high school, is sort like you said, sort of initiates the sexual relationship, is sort of like weird. Like, not weird, but like definitely somebody, it comes off, and because this is why I thought that the brother was sexually abusing her, it comes off as somebody who is trying to like retake control of like their body in that way.
Right. Especially when you take into regards who Marianne is. Both Marianne and Connor are deeply introverted people. The only difference is he masks well enough that he fits in with an otherwise pretty extroverted group of friends, right? Right. But they both keep their emotions to themselves, and they like to spend their time mostly by themselves. And Marianne is also a shy person, not just introverted, but shy, right? She doesn't speak much. She always keeps her head up, her eyes forward. She hesitates to make eye contact with people. And although she's pretty good at standing up for herself against her peers and her teachers, she goes out of her way to kind of like not make waves and to avoid situations where she might face pain and rejection, right? Right. And she flat out comes on to her maid's son and is like, I'm attracted to you. I want to fuck you. Do you want to fuck me?
Right. It's like,
can we fuck now?
Now?
Like, girl?
It's sort of like, yeah, it sort of flies in the face of like what we've sort of been told about her thus far as a character, which then makes you to believe, okay, well, like, why are you like that? Like, and to me, and at least my mind was like, oh, because like she's trying to, like, yes, she likes him, but also she's trying to take back some sort of modicum of control as being.
Yeah, it's giving, reclaiming my body.
Body, yeah. So, but like the show does not do that, and there's nothing to make to establish that that could be canon. And I think, that's unfortunate. I think that was like a missed opportunity, to be honest, because there is something to me. So like, it's interesting, like we talk about I think as a culture, we talk about how like rich people are like not better than us. But yet in our storytelling, like we won't like do that, you know, like.
I feel like a lot of people tend to try to avoid the topic of sibling sexual abuse, right? And right. Maybe the implication was enough, but I understand what you're saying, where it's like, that was a line that I feel like they were towing. And like, are you going to at least tell us that she was in fear of him in that way? Because I feel like even just telling us that he had touched her once, or that she slept with her door locked because she was afraid of what he would do at night, would have wildly changed my perspective of Marianne.
It would have. And then I also, and like, it would have. I think it would have been a stronger choice from the show, like writing wise. And then I also, but then to go back to sort of what I was trying to say is like, we, like, familial incest and like in rape in that sense is something that we definitely, I think about with regards to people who are poor, but these things happen in like rich families too. And I do think that it would have lended something, I think, interesting in like a culture, like I think it would have lended something interesting, like in our cultural imagination, to like watch a story about rich people who like who, like, as a society, we are taught that, like, rich people are better because they're rich, not, and, like, but to see that, like, they too are also doing this weird fucked up thing that, like, we usually associate with poor people. I think that would have been something valuable to add to the cultural imagination, if that makes sense.
Right. No, I agree with that. I do agree with that. And like I said, the scenes with Marianne's brother, while wonderfully acted, always had this lingering tension of where is this going to lead, right? Like, right. In the pivotal scene where she runs into her room to try to get away from him because he demands that she stop seeing Connell because Connell is a nutter, right? Connor is crazy. You can't see him. It's going to make the family look bad. And she runs into her room and she doesn't close the door fast enough and he hits her in the face with the door. I really thought that was going to escalate.
Mm.
Like, badly. And their mother sitting in the living room, like, listening, like, girl, if you're not going to do shit, at least leave the house. You're just listening to your daughter scream in terror while drinking your wine? Is this, like, listen.
Are you serious?
I have a lot of opinions on Marianne's mom. She is a failure in all of the significant ways that a mother could fail a daughter. And honestly, I'm lucky that her non-dating ass was not dating, because God knows how that girl would have fared with a mother like that if her mother had ever had an abusive boyfriend, right?
Right.
But yeah, those family dynamics were really interesting. And especially when later in college, after she and Gareth break up, and this is the first boyfriend, and then she and Connell break up again. She starts dating she starts dating Jamie, played by Fiona Shea. And Jamie's, like, super abusive. Like, very abusive to Marianne. Everything from the way that he speaks to her to the way that he has this sex with her that's not entirely consensual. I feel like she was groomed for this relationship by her relationship with her brother, which is where that aspect of, I feel like she was being sexually abused, you feel like she was being sexually abused, becomes even larger, right?
Right.
Because why else would you be in this relationship, Marianne? Your daddy didn't abuse you.
Right.
Connell didn't physically abuse you. So why is it so normalized in you to be hit by a man? To be, you know, let's call it what it is, sexually assaulted by a man, to be verbally abused by a man. Who normalized this for you?
Right, right. And, like, that happens in the relationship with Jamie, right? Because she talks about how, like, yeah, that's Jamie's thing. And then it happens again with the one black person in the show. My God. The guy in Sweden.
The photographer. And, like, just FYI, and I don't care how this sounds, girls, don't date photographers.
Oh, no. Harsh.
Photographer is, like, right after personal trainer in, like, fuckboy career fields.
Oh, my gosh. That is so me.
Harsh. Yeah, I said what, like, I said. No,
actually.
You can judge me now, but don't be in my DMs 5 years from now talking about, girl, I should listen to you. Because no, the whole situation was wild. And with the photographer, the only difference between the Jamie and the photographer that I noticed really is that it seemed like with the photographer, she wanted to be mistreated, right? Did you get that energy? Like, she wants to be punished for something.
Like, yeah, she does it first, but then, like, she says no, and then he's like, fuck you. I'm going to do it anyway.
Like, it goes from consensual non-consent to, like, just straight up non-consent. Consent, very quickly.
Yeah. Very and quickly, yeah.
I feel so bad for Miriam because I feel like so many of her behaviors are masochistic, deeply. And Connell is no different, right? Most of her initial relationship with Connell is very emotionally masochistic. Like, I'm with this person who doesn't want to be seen in public with me and doesn't want anyone to know that we're together. That's painful, right? Especially when she starts to fall in love with this boy.
Right. She, she's so, because, like, I don't know, I can't relate, but, like, she's so, but you're right, she is very masochistic, because, and she, she gives herself in a way that is like, really, I'm just like, girl, like, no. Like when she tells him respectively, honestly, twice, once when they're in high school and then again when they start hooking up again in college, when she's like, oh, you could do whatever you wanted to me and I would do whatever you wanted. Like, she's like, you could lay me right here and do whatever you wanted. That's actually like, when she says that, it's actually like really dark.
It's really dark and it's giving red flag. And I'm not gonna lie, if I'm not a man, but I feel like if I were a man and a woman said that to me, like, you could do whatever you want to me, I'd be like, I think this bitch is trying to set me up.
Yeah, same. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't know, girl.
When Connell is like, when she says that and Connell is like, oh, how do you want me to respond to that? Like, I really feel that within myself. Because I'm like, how do you want me to respond to that? Like, what is this? This feels like a setup.
Right. No, it's so weird. And Connell's looking at her like, girl, love yourself.
Yeah, he's like, Connell wanted to say, stand up.
He did. He really, really did. And then that's exactly the relationship that she did have with Jamie, though, where she let him do whatever she wanted to her. He wanted to her. And their relationship actually ended because of his, like, verbal abuse, right? Right. And physical abuse, not because of, like, their sexual relationship, which is really weird. I feel like Marion is a character that, you know, is deeply troubled and traumatized by her upbringing in a way that Connor never could be, right? I feel like there are some remnants of growing up poor that kind of like stick to you, cling to you, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, don't inherently shift your perspective of yourself as a person, right? Because a poor person understands, but I'm wealthy now, I'm no longer poor. They might still do some of the poor shit they did before, but whatever unworthiness was attached to their feelings of poverty is no longer there. But what do you say to the person who has been treated as an afterthought and deprioritized at best, right? Mm-hmm. This her relationship with her mother, and has been abused, mistreated, marginalized by every single person she's ever had an intimate relationship with. Gareth is the only exception, and the only reason he was an exception was because she didn't love him.
Right. You're totally right. I do agree on those points and those fronts. I don't know. Poor Marianne. She just needed to pull it together. Somebody needs to tell her to stand up.
Like, Loki, I hate these tragic female characters. I really do. I understand this is real life and people have lived this life, but oh man, I hate this for her. I was really waiting for Marianne to enter her villain era very deeply. It didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Like, there's a scene where she's spending Christmas with Connell and his mom and their family, and like, they just finished shopping and she meets her mother on the street and the mom pretends like not to even fucking recognize her. And I was waiting for her to snatch her mom by her ponytail and rock her shit right there on the streets.
Exactly. what she deserves.
What she deserves, which was a long time coming, long overdue. Absolutely. But it didn't happen. And if I learned anything from Marianne's character is that being the bigger person is very painful.
It is. It's very painful. So Normal People was also an interesting show in that, like, Normal People was the first show to, like, officially use intimacy coordinators to craft its sex scenes. And that was, like, something that, like, the show was really popular for and, like, something that was a huge part of the narrative of the show itself and then happened for the show and then, once again, shows beyond it. And it was then... And then I think critically it was the sex scenes in Normal People was hailed as like the best sex scenes ever and such. Once again, I thought they were mid.
I mean, I thought they were really good, but that's because I'm a pillow princess and I don't be doing all that shit. And it looked very acrobatic. It looked very acrobatic. It looked very aerobic. And I was just like, go for the gusto, guys. I believe in you. Like, I'm basically Kris Jenner holding the camera. Like, you're doing amazing, sweetie.
I cannot stand you. You're not serious.
No, I'm so unserious right now. Just be like, damn, that looks that looked like it was a lot longer than 12 minutes. I don't know if I could do all that. And listen, like, I understand that this is the only way that they're comfortable expressing their passion and the depth of their feelings for each other. But when there was one particular scene that made me realize that the sex that they were having was a cheap substitute for the real thing. Well, two scenes, actually. One with Connell and one with Marion. The first was when he asked his ex, Rachel, to go to the school dance with him instead of Marianne. And then Marianne breaks up with him, for basically playing in her face.
Right.
And he gets drunk at the dance and calls up her phone a number of times and leaves these, like, sobbing, like, plaintive, begging voice messages. And I'm like, okay, I get it. He needed some liquid courage to say how he really feels about this girl. Couldn't get that disinformation out of him sober. And then there's the other scene where they're in college and they break up again because he can't afford to stay in Dublin for the summer, right? And it never crosses her mind to ask him to stay with her that summer. And she just assumes that this is him, like, saying, I no longer want you, or you no longer fit into my plan.
Right.
And she's, like, just lying in her bed crying. And I'm like, this is so sad. Like, it's actually really, really sad that there's always this unspoken, unacknowledged elephant in the room. Because if Marianne were the one who didn't have money and Connell were the one who had money, maybe they would have had a similar relationship, especially if he was still asking her to hide the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. But this feeling of shame in regards to finances just wouldn't have been there. Like, poor girls don't feel less feminine for dating rich guys.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, well, I mean, well, once again, I thought the sex scenes are mid. I was like, wow, these white people sure do breathe a lot.
Oh my God, I kind of wish they had, like, done a better, like, I wish they had done it, like,
I felt the sound editing was so poor. I was like, this is way too much breathing. Like, somebody needed to pull it back.
Yeah, and I think they thought that it seemed passionate or whatever, but when I think of a sex scene where people are clearly breathing heavy and they're clearly sweating, but mm-hmm. we're not focused on the heavy breathing and the sweating, I think of the film Say Anything.
Mm.
All we remember from that scene is In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. Like, and y'all could have just gave me a real good timeless banger and put some music over that so we didn't have to hear them, like, panting for breath.
No, cool. We will never be free. Never. We will always, we will never get free. But, that's
last talking point. I want your opinion on this. So at the end of the show, Marianne stays in her new apartment in Ireland, and Connell has an opportunity to go to New York, and she encourages him to do so. For once, he is really choosing how he feels about her, right? He's like, I've lost you, like, what, twice already? I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to prioritize our relationship. And she's like, no, because if you don't prioritize yourself right now, it would be bad. And I agree with that, especially, like, as we kept saying, he's not financially privileged the way that she is, right? This is his opportunity to shift that reality.
Right.
And so they go their separate ways, even though they're still deeply in love with each other and haven't actually broken up. So do you think this couple, with the way that they ended things and the growth that they experienced over the years, do you think that they can survive the distance?
No. I know that's harsh, but, like, I think even still at the end when, you know, they're sort of hanging out together and he's sort of in turmoil about whatever the decision he's going to make, I think they still suffer from these problems of, like, being separated and what does it mean to take care of the entire household and all of those things, I think, and then obviously the money situation, I think those things continue to weigh on them, but they're just, you know, maybe less now, if that makes sense.
You know, I never saw distance as a problem for this couple. I saw the finances as a problem for this couple, but here's the thing about men. I've noticed that a lot of times the type of woman a man dates when he has no money and the type of woman that he dates when he comes into money are very vastly different. I think if Connell and Marion don't make it, it won't be because of the distance. It'll be because Connell is financially secure, maybe even affluent for the first time in his life.
That's an interesting thought. I could see it.
I don't see Marianne never not holding the torch for him. I think if it fails, it won't be on her end. Do you understand?
Right. I don't really think it's on his end either. I do think he loves her for better, for worse, but I guess we'll never know. I think originally there was supposed to be a second season of Normal People, but it ended up not going forward because of everything that's just sort of happening over with Disney right now. But I don't know. I still think or hope or hold out hope there could be a second season in the future.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I kind of like the ambiguity of the ending. Like you said, the things that needed to be cleared up were this relationship with her brother, this relationship that both of them had to money. That would have been nice. But I'm not dissatisfied with the way that things ended. I think at the end, we got some really honest, really meaningful, long overdue conversations between the two of them about the state of this relationship.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there are other things that I think are, like you said, they finally sort of talked to each other and established boundaries. But I also think there are things about in the show with regards to Marianne and Connell that are also very whimsical and expressive and pretty and beautiful in turn. So I don't know.
So what is your grade for the show overall? Is it good? Is it bad? Or is it basic?
I unfortunately am going to, not unfortunately, I still think like I, with all things considered, I still am putting it at like a basic to me.
I'm gonna have to give it a basic as well, especially after having read the novel. It's not that I think the novel is the best novel ever written, but it's so beautifully crafted and it is so rich in the nuance that the television series is simply lacking. So I'm gonna have to give it a basic as well. And this is no shade to Daisy, to Paul, or to Sally. You're all great at what you do respectively, but the sum of the parts just fell short for me.
Same. It's truly just the sum of the parts and the cogs not fitting quite, the cogs fitting, but not quite right. That did it for me. But like I said here at Good Bad Basic, we try not to cover just stuff that we like. I definitely think it's important that we cover stuff that, like, maybe we didn't like that much or that we thought was mid, because just to investigate the work and respect the work itself for what it is. And there you have it, folks. This is everything that we think made Normal People good, contemplative, and memorable. If you'd like to check out this series, Normal People is currently streaming on Hulu. If you've enjoyed this episode of The Good, The Bad, The Basic, please share to share it with your friends. If you're a patron, be sure to check out our Normal People playlist if you haven't already. Tune in next week as we keep the season going by discussing the Amazon Prime original, Panic, the limited series about small-town teens playing games of life or death. You don't want to miss out on this conversation.
The Good, the Bad, the Basic is currently streaming on all major podcast platforms, so be sure to tune in to our regular weekly episodes on the go. Leave us a review on your preferred platform and share our weekly episodes on your social media. Follow us at The Good Bad Basic on Twitter and at Good Bad Basic Pod on Instagram to get in on our daily content. Also, be sure to follow our SoundCloud page, The Good, The Bad, The Basic, where all of our weekly episodes debut. If you love this sort of content and want more, become a show producer and patron over on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/goodbadbasic. Your support allows us to keep bringing you our regular weekly episodes as well as exclusive bonus material. Until next time, bye everyone.
Bye everyone.